Blog Talk Radio.
And he couldn't check him by bringing his attention to his wrong, so he hauled off and smacked him upside his head. Pow! And that kind of liberty that Moses took got him put out of Egypt. Say, hey, you got to get out of here with this stuff you got here, boy. You don't belong with us. Get out of here. they exiled him. They put him out in the desert, right? He got out there in the desert and met a wise man. Wise man turned him on to the way of God. Then he got inspired. He said, hey, I think I see fire. So I think I'll go there to the fire. Maybe I'll bring back something that will serve as a light or something as heat for you. And after he had that experience, he went back to Pharaoh. Said, hey, I thought we put you out of here. Didn't we exile you some time ago? What are you doing here? Said, God says, let my people go. Hey, what you joking or something, Moses? We know you. Don't you know you are our boy? Say, who is this God you're talking about? Said, only God I know is myself. That's what Pharaoh told him. Say, who is this God you're talking about, Moses? The only God I know is myself. Said, but do you give life and give death? Pharaoh said, yeah, I give life and give death. If you don't straighten up, I'm getting ready to kill you right now. Now, who's this God you talking about? Say, the one who created everything and thereafter gave it his guidance. And Pharaoh, that shook him, you know. Say, hey, what's this? Hey, this boy looked like he had met something else. He ain't the same fella that left here. Say, hey, I'm going to tell you again. God said, let my people go. Say, are you threatening me, Moses? Yeah. Say, God said, he's going to take your firstborn if you don't let my people go. Then he presented him with one threat after another, right? And the God he served backed Moses up. He sent him and he backed him up. Pretty soon Pharaoh, he lost his cool. And he organized his men to battle with Moses and his followers. And as a consequence, he was drowned in the sea. Right? That's that great history that we just mentioned in brief here. Great history. Great history. Now, dear beloved people, we in these United States, the true yearning for freedom in us is a yearning for religious freedom. And instead of getting that religious freedom, we were fascinated so much, enchanted so much, enamored so much with the hope of being accepted by our rejectors. You know, pimps and other playboys and pretty boys that make a business out of romancing women, they know that the way to get a woman hooked is to reject her for no reason that she can find. And she will be tied up forever trying to find out how come I'm not wanted. He'll have her forever. She ain't gonna rest until she win him. Because she's rejected, but don't know why. See, I'm fine. I know I'm fine. I know I whipped him on, whipped it on him right. How come he won't come around? And he's pushing her off. Hey, no. Leave me alone. So the experience we had with the white man had the power to produce the same kind of thing in us. White man rejected us, and we don't know why he won't treat us like this. Why are we so offensive to him? Why is our flesh so offensive to him? We're human like he is. How come he becomes so upset just by our presence? Why he doesn't even want us drinking out of the same water fountain with him? Bird come up there and drink out of the fountain? He go there and drink behind the bird. I drink out of the fountain. They lynch one of us and take the fountain up and throw it away. So he put a big question in your mind. Why in the hell do I provoke you to go to these extremes? You got false notions about me, man. Let me hug you. Feel me. I'm just like somebody else. I'm just like anybody else. Come on, kiss me. Come on, please, kiss me. I'm just like anybody else. Tongue me. I'm just like anybody else. Let's have sex. You see, I'm just like anybody else. Hey, let's have a baby. You see, we can have a baby. I'm just like anybody else. Don't run. Let me sit by you in the park. I'm just like anybody else. Hey, where you going? Don't leave. I'm just like anybody else. Hey, you don't know what these things can do to your soul and to your nature and your spirit. So we want to prove ourselves to him, huh? We want to prove ourselves. And then what happens? Now, we have a yearning to be religiously free. We want to find religious freedom. Then he opened the church to us. And we walk into the doors, and there is the image of him saying, come unto me. That's some powerful psychology that this civilization used on non-whites. Push them away, say they're black, they're colored, they're inferior. But now come into my church, I have an image of me there that wants you. Come unto me. So all you wanted to do to white women and white men, you go in there and do it to Jesus. Oh, Jesus! Oh, that's Jesus! Oh, 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 Jesus! Jesus! You see the psychology? You see the psychology? See, you can take an animal, and make an image, an effigy of a person, and you can take that image and torture and tantalize us, etc., that animal with that image, and then take that animal to the person they never saw, never smelled anything, and that animal will go right at that person. So the person you want to accept you is the white man. The image of him is the so-called God, Jesus. God forbid. So your yearning, your desperate need to be accepted by the white man is kind of vicariously satisfied through your experience with the Jesus on the cross. Nothing but an emblem, a symbol of the white man's race. So how come you can't find your freedom? How come you can't be free? How come you ain't comfortable with what you are, with who you are? How come you haven't found yourself? It is because you haven't carried your freedom urge to its
proper conclusion. You need to go back and pick up your freedom struggle. Your freedom struggle was not to have money and cat-like cars and Mercedes-Benz and fine clothes and show off with the white man in the business suit or to have power in the army, et cetera, et cetera. That wasn't your yearning. Your yearning was to find a comfortable place for your soul. Your yearning was to free your soul. Your yearning was for religious freedom. You wanted to know your God, what he approves, what he disapproves. You wanted to hear from your God if what the white man was doing was right or wrong. You wanted to hear from God. You wanted to find God so you can judge what the white man has established. But instead of finding God, you found nothing but a comfortable place with a cold image, nothing but a marble image of the white man. Or plastic or wooden, I don't know what they're making the images in now. And there you rested your religious struggle. End it with Jesus. Oh, I got Jesus now. I don't need anything else. I understand why. But you still need something. You just can't see the depths of your life. You're in the shallow. In the shallow, you think you don't need anything. But the depths are still troubled, not rested, and won't be rested until you find religious freedom. And the only religious freedom for non-white people in this particular society is to come into a religion that is not imaged in the white man. That's the only way. We ain't gonna never be free. Church used to be all so sincere. You always have sincere people in religion. But the leadership of the black church or the African American church or the black church now is corrupt. It's corrupt. In fact, it's nothing but a mockery. So we have been yearning for religious freedom. This is the course God intended for us, to bring us back to establishment, community life and community establishment, after being taken from establishment when we were brought here as slaves. Are taken from the opportunity to establish ourselves when we were brought here as slaves. Many of us were brought from dignified life. We know of certain slaves that were brought and sold on slave blocks, auction blocks. It's documented by history that certain ones of them came from educated backgrounds and good situations, good fortunate situations, and they were sold just like all the other slaves on the auction block. Religious freedom is our yearning. You who are still with us here, you're here because you believe that this place is the best opportunity for that religious freedom. But that religious freedom for you will not be a reality if you leave responsibility for your religious community life to people that you don't even know. Most of you still trust me, and you depend upon solely upon me to keep the order of your community or your religious life. I can't do that. That's too much for any human being. The prophet himself, peace be upon him, he was told by God to tell the people, I am not to be a protector of your life, a regulator of your affairs, a guardian for your interests. No, The prophet was not sent to do that. He was told by, he's told by God in the Quran to tell them that I have no responsibility but to make the message clear. That's what the prophet was told. If he would have accepted that responsibility, he would have deviated from the course of his own prophethood. Because he came to lead the people into shared community life, shared responsibility, shared authority, shared power. He came to lead the people into the ideal democracy. Yes. So God gave him the words to tell them, no, I won't accept that you burden me with all this responsibility. You have to accept responsibility. You have to accept responsibility for your own life. Don't worry. I don't do this often. This is very important. We don't have in the history of Prophet Muhammad where Prophet Muhammad was going about checking on people. We don't have in the history of Prophet Muhammad where Prophet Muhammad was trying to get all of the business in his control. We don't have in the history of Prophet Muhammad where Prophet Muhammad was trying to ascertain what was going on in all the locales, in all the towns, so he could have control over the life of the people. We only have in the history of Prophet Muhammad where he gave advice when it was asked outside of the regular job of his prophethood, when he was inspired to speak to the people. When he wasn't inspired to speak to the people, he was just like a common neighbor. He worked with his wife in the house. He swept the house. He swept in front of the house. He did chores. He went to the market to get groceries for the household. He was seen carrying on the common life of everybody else. How could he do that and be the man that he was, the leader that he was? Because he was sent to bring about a truly participatory democracy where people accept responsibility for their own circumstances, apply the light of God, apply the wisdom of God, and don't expect the man who gave it to you from the mouth of God to be right there with you by your side, watching you and treating you like you're a damn baby, don't know how to take care of your own circumstance. I'm not a prophet. I'm not a prophet. I don't even claim to be a mujaddid. I dropped the issue long time ago. I'm a leader because you chose me. I'm a leader because you want me. I'll stay a leader because you want me. Yes. You can retire me by not wanting me. You can retire me. I have no guarantee from heaven. Yes. But I speak with the wisdom that was revealed to the prophet. Yes, sir. And I speak in the defense of the order of life and society intended for Muslims with the wisdom revealed to the prophet. And I say to you, just as the prophet would say to you, I'm not here to watch all of your interests, to protect all of your investments, to preside over all of your disputes.
I'm not God, I'm a human being. And God presented this kind of democratic participatory democracy to the Muslims so that the Muslims will be a competing force. Not only that, but a leading force for excellence on this earth, a model community for all other communities. But they failed, and God warned the Arabs, didn't he?
Yes, sir.
Allah says in the Quran, if you fail, he will raise up behind you another people who will accept this responsibility, saying they will not, they will be a strong people, they will be a faithful people to God, and they won't fear the criticism of the public criticizers. Ah.
Wonderful, wonderful.
There are men and nations who have taken up that invitation. I believe in the heart of Khomeini, he feels he really has accepted that invitation. And perhaps in the hearts of certain other leaders, they feel they have accepted that invitation. But for the most part, the majority of the Muslim societies or nations of this earth have disregarded that invitation. Say, well, how come you favor Khomeini? And he's a fanatic, a radical. God cares more about a radical, who will try to take up the challenge, pick up the cause, than he cares about hypocrites who are pleasing everybody just so they don't disturb the waters. I'm not favoring his image over any other person's image, but I'm telling you that because that man at least has the courage to say, this is not your territory, you will not bring in your Western influences, you will not dictate to us, we have our own religion, God gave it to us, if we want to be under Islamic rule, we're going to be under it, now leave us alone, or suffer the consequences. I'm saying that a man that had that courage, though he be a little too full of wine. What I mean by that, the wine of religious devotion. Though he be a little too filled or too full with the wine of religious devotion, God will come to his aid quicker and with more power and support than he will to the aid of a hypocrite that's scared to stir the waters. Afraid to risk criticism from those who will criticize. So that old man is about 150 years old. They thought he should have been dead about 80 years ago. He's still over there living, still ruling. And they done tried everything, a bay of pigs and everything else. And the man's still over there because God says, though he's a little tipsy, he got the courage to stand up for truth in my way. He has God's protection. And you people, and most of you, all are wine heads. But if you accept, you'll see, you'll have God's protection. I'm talking about religious freedom. I hope tomorrow to carry this talk and complete this talk tomorrow. I'm talking about the yearning, the natural yearning in us, coming from the circumstances in Africa to the horrible circumstances of slavery in these United States, the yearning in us for religious freedom, and now the blessing of coming into the community of Islam, and the great responsibility of establishing your Islamic life, but it requires that you share responsibility, that you share decision making, that you leave not your properties and your investments to one man, but seek out honorable, decent,
loyal, trustworthy people, form boards, form committees, hold each other responsible, protect your invested interests. In concluding these talks, I want to quickly go over to you the wonderful events in these past 10 years. When I became your leader, that was a wonderful event. How come that was a wonderful event? You may not can see it right now, but if you think about it, especially you learned men and women, if you think about it seriously, you will agree with me that nothing has happened more significant in the life of black people on this continent than my coming into leadership after Elijah Muhammad. Nothing you can see right away, but take it with you, take it home with you. That was a wonderful event. The son of a man they called a black supremacist. The son trained by the father to really obey his false god, who was taught from infancy to pray to a man by the name of Farad and had no other knowledge except that, so he prayed to a man called Farad and thought he was the Lord of the worlds. Not only me, but all my brothers and sisters thought the same, especially the young ones who hadn't experienced anything else, who believed that the white man was inherently wicked, that he was the real devil. And was recruited in the FOI to be a soldier for God, carrying the message until God come with the material hardware to remove the white man from the face of the earth. Yes, that's what I was taught, that's what I was taught, that's what I was given, that's what I believed, until my mind began to grow out of it to look for better understanding.
Of course, that was Enam W.D. Muhammad on the 10th anniversary of his leadership. And what a powerful message you've given us to take responsibility. And that call is still real today. You have to take responsibility of everything, you know, form boards, form committees, make strong goals and strategies of how to achieve those goals. And we cannot leave it up to one man or one woman decisions. We have a committee of one. We have to work together and cooperate with each other. We have to have that faith, a strong faith that would obligate God to be with us. And he's been with us, you know, but we haven't been, as much, well, I'm not going to complain, don't want to complain, but I want to point out that we have a lot to do. We cannot do it just sitting back. We're getting older and older and older, you know, and, you know, life is short anyway. So why not make a decision to enjoy everything we can, but do it the right way, the way that God wants us to do. And we know that we're letting a lot of things slip aside. Now, I'm telling you, I'm your brother. I don't like saying it, but we got a lot of faults that we got to eliminate. We get all these poisons the world gives us, we got to eliminate them. And Islam itself is a religion of purity. When we say La ilaha illallah, that's purity, you know. When we do the fasting, that's the purity. When we say prayers, that's the purity. When we her heart is purity. Charity is purity. It's purity is edifying. act that will set us right and be a balanced, rational person, be a balanced, rational believer to make the right decisions to advance our community, to advance ourselves, our family, and neighborhoods. I think you know what I'm talking about. Now, I have been trying since this broadcast began to get my computer to work rightly so I can get to the studio and make this program much better. I have pre-arranged that part one of the talk, of the lecture, will play when I call a number. But unfortunately, I can't get to part two or part three. I have to do it later. I got to clean up my computer, got a virus or something, I don't know. But something's preventing me to make this program a little bit better by playing part two and part three. I cannot do it. But what I can do is talk to you, and it's my delight in sharing. We have three internet outlets, reach out for communication, and that's on the Facebook, with the Facebook group. We are with Imam W.D. Muhammad. Go to yahoo.com, look up groups, look for We Are With Imam W.D. Muhammad. Then we have our name, social network, and you look at www.wearewithimam.name.com. Name is for N-I-N-G. And these are all three wonderful ways of communication. And I'm telling you, I find that we come up short in our communication with each other. We're probably so shy. We don't want to be criticized. You know, don't be afraid to criticize, like you man said. Let's be right. Let's be strong in faith, number one. Strong in education about the religion and to know yourself, you know, and know the problems and also find solutions in the Quran and in the Sunnah of our Prophet Muhammad. So, one way you can be here, the lecture I played so far, is right now on the name social network at www.wearewithimam.name.com. On the right-hand side, you'll see a station IWM player. And you'll see the programs for the whole week. It's right there on. We have some technical difficulties. And for the next 3 or 4 days, I can pay attention to it and see how I can clean up our act to be better, to be improved, and our progress will be more clear so we all can benefit from it. You know? Coming up on Monday is the dynamic duel, Layla Yemeni and Hakeem Yemeni. They have a program that's called the Health and Wealth of Natural Community Life. And Layla's been under the weather. I pray that she recovers completely and, you know, free of any type of sickness. But I'm pretty confident the sister comes through, let you know. And on Tuesday, we have Quranic Arabic, Language of Revelation, with Sadiq Shahad. And he's a good friend of mine. And he's a beautiful Arabic professor. And he's very, very patient. And he explains such a beautiful way to teach us. He's trying to move all the time. Matter of fact, there's a program in Chicago. It's called the National Arabic Learning Seminar. And it's at 355 South Sacramento Boulevard, I think. That's in Chicago. And I'll put the flyer up. The flyer's already up with that particular program on a main network. And it's going to be on Facebook again, so you'd be aware of it. So I encourage people who live around that particular area and have easy access to that event to go ahead, you know, enjoy yourself and gain from it. Now, tickets I know is $60. What's that? $60, you get this book, Language of Revelation, and this good book, written one of the best books, by an English professor, one of the best English books, I should say, to learn the language as Tongue of the Angel, as they say. And along with that, you get two meals, too. But even if you don't have six, let's say, three brothers, I'm kind of short here. You know, deal can be worked out. So go ahead to the language, to the Arabic, Quranic Arabic, learning summit, and have a great time. Also, I understand in terms of events, there's a event down in Charlotte, North Carolina, and I don't have everything in front of me, but it's called the Moral Summit. I mean, that sounds great, and the people participating, there's some strong believers, and it's great. So, you know, we got something in Chicago happening, and we have something in Charlotte, North Carolina happening, too. So if you find yourself in those particular areas, please try to make every opportunity, or, you know, try to make it strong enough to be there, tell somebody about it, and enjoy yourself. So anyway, Wednesday night we have a conversation with the purpose right here, 8 o'clock p.m., and we have a good time talking with each other and sharing, you know, current events, past events, but the aim is to, on our focus, is to have a model community, to establish a model community, to manage that particular community, you know, have a community of human excellence. There's manifest itself in all the works. So yeah, I try to bring in guests when I can, and you'll see it. Thursday, try to bring a lecture of Imam Dr. Muhammad all the time to keep our direction straight. You know, just like the Imam spoke tonight. He was so deep, you know, as if into our problems that was caused by the slave plantation experience, where our people were just, you know, taking off the path of natural growth. So, but again, God has guided us. And so when you see these problems, you should use Quranic methods, you know, the principles of how to resolve issues. And yeah, a big issue, and like, I'm going to share with you, I don't want to hurt somebody's feelings, but I don't mean to. I mean for us to be strong, pure, and evolving and productive. You know, Muslim Journal, One Man Decision, you know, and going to Sabina was a, yeah, it's a ripoff. You know, that's for you. It's just that correct thing to do. The paper is going away, and tell you the truth, I'm a lifetime subscriber. I haven't had my paper in a long time, but I don't miss it because I'm one of the technologies that God has allowed to evolve, like the internet. Information is flowing fast and furious, and I believe, like, even the fish out WM that we have, form of communication, media, form of communication, the internet groups that I just told you about, under the We Are With Imam Dr. Muhammad. There's another form of media, too, that really negates or softens the blow of not having a Muslim Journal and emotion. You know, I know it's an emotional type of thing. Oh, we need a paper. No, we don't. You know, now that it's killing, now that it's ripping you off, now that it's amplifying the correct type of person that you need to grow as a community, as a person, as a neighbor. And I think they try to touch it once in a while, but they miss out, you know. And plus, papers in themselves, they have a problem financially, you know. So, you know, the major papers going to have a flu or a hiccup. We're going to have a flu, you know. So I think that it's a matter of time. My scale is a matter of time. It's going to go. It's not worthy, I would say, to be in the lead of claiming to or branded to hold up the legacy of Imam Joji Muhammad. Things is a sham, unfortunately. And the people who are involved in the leadership of the mosque, I don't think they even know. I think they're defined by their own greed. And they just don't know. You know, it's a shame, but, you know, we see it and we got called to it. That's part of being a believer. About if you correct situations, if you see something bad, you stop with your tongue, your hands, you know, or you know it. You know what is wrong. And a lot of people, again, they know it. They know it. And they soundly vote, move their feet, and walk away. But there are a few hardcore, you never want to be blind believers, you know. But I want to tell you something, or I just said recently. It's a question of this. Wallace number two is promoting himself to be a leader of the community. And I think he was doing it in a kind of slick way. You know, Wallace, not super. He may be crazy, but not super, like they say, you know. So I heard that at the EMAS meeting at the last convention, and Wallace was there, and that Imam Fahim Sabri out of New Orleans, he made a statement saying that Wallace is the head of the mosque care, but he's not the head of our community. And people said, "Is that right, Wallace?" And Wallace agreed. You know, I don't think he wanted to, but he agreed. So I don't think that particular a couple minutes that was made at the convention was exposed as it should be. Wallace is not the leader of the community. I don't think he ever was. And we have a leader, we have to elect a leader. And we have to have a vote. And that's our interest. Anyway, our interest is to really build that work where we are. You know, work in your places, as the client says. So we build up. And of course, we communicate with each other, you know, cooperate with one another. We don't have a breakdown like the acting man passed at CBC taken over by Ralph, you know. And Ralph, I knew Ralph was the right man right away. But he made a move, and people were quiet, you know. And one man decision, next thing you know, CBC owed $100,000 in taxes, you know. That's a handout. I said, wait a minute now. What's going on? Now, another sad thing, Darnell was going out collecting money for the so-called center named Imam W. Muhammad. Well, he signed up for money, but ain't no center, you know. You don't see Darnell. What happened to the money? Where's the money? Where's the transparency? Where's the accountability? Everybody wants to ask. I'll ask. Darnell, what you do with the money, man, you know? So, we'll get some updates. What's going on, you know? So I think something's funny going on, and I think some action are needed. So, now, these are some tough things, and we have to pass these tests to be in position to earn the blessings that Allah will have us. Else, we won't get it, you know? We won't get it by being quiet. We won't get it by being on the sidelines. We won't get it by not recognizing the truth was presented before you. So pray to Allah, that we be more involved, and just, you know, we'll be right around the corner for all of us. And you can tell people, this is Khalid, my name is Khalid Abdul Islam. I have no qualms about it. And, you know, I'm telling you the truth, because I don't want to lie to you, but we want to be right, we want to do right, we want to get right, you know. We want to get those blessings in our lives. That's what it's about. And he wants us to have a life that's a great life, not a shaky life. So, my brothers and sisters, you take care and tune in to all our programs, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And pretty soon, we'll have a full set of programs every day, every week. And we work on a business program for Sunday, and we have more news as it is developing. security students were just hanging there with us, and, you know, one other thing about our way of life and about what you may have excluded, it was patience. He had so much patience. It was unbelievable. But we still have patience, you know. So we wasn't steady, have patience, and keep struggling. So that's the message. And know that God puts us here for a purpose. You can't compel anybody. You have to come up with your own idea or own choice to be with us in our mission to live a good life, to obey God. Obey God, number one. Have a good life and have some good establishment. So that's it. Take care. And this is the last of E, too, Thursday. So I wish to eat my body, all my brothers and sisters, and may Allah bless us mightily as we carry forward, move forward. Take care. Salaam alaikum.